Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Randy, what do you do? Are you a buy new stuff guy? Like, what do you do for the beginning of college football?
No, I don't buy anything new.
What do you do for the beginning of college football?
I just got this and I got beer, ribs, beer, steak, liquor, dip, cigars, in an empty house.
Dip?
You forgot beer.
Oh, yeah. I think he said beer like three times. Dip? Like you're getting chewing tobacco?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Chewing for the game. You got to have that for the game.
I got to have it every day.
Okay.
You had me an empty house.
And the empty house.
Once you get started, it's hard to stop.
It's 12 noon ATL.
Real talk alert.
Rick Kamla and John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Shout out to Randy Mack, man. And we are Rick and John. We are in the Kia studios, and we're about to have a healthy conversation about Matt Ryan. John, I'm absolutely astounded by one thing.
What's that?
What if I told you that Matt Ryan has not had a single MVP-level game this year? Would you believe me?
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, and the question is, and Ernest Brandon Blaine, we see you. We're going to get you in. We're also going to keep the phone calls going because we're shifting into Matt Ryan here. Are you resigned to the fact that he's having a down year and that that's just what's up? Or do you think he can get lightning in a bottle and rekindle MVP form? Matt Ryan this year, John, here's his touchdown passes starting with last week against the Saints going all the way back. 1-1-1-0-1-2-2-2-2. Mm-hmm. Pretty good run there. 1-1-1-2-1-1.
Wow.
19 touchdowns. He has not thrown for 3 touchdowns one time this year.
Mm.
And the yardage, he has, let's see, 1 300-yard game, 2-3. He has 3 300-yard games this year. Now, there's drop balls, there's protection issues, there's all kinds of stuff going on. However, John, to this question, I am resigned to the fact that Matt Ryan is having a down year and will not at any point this year return to MVP form. I hope I am wrong about that, John. But how can you, with the body of work that we've seen in 15 games, think that all of a sudden he's just, especially as you get into, we're playing Carolina's defense this week. This just in, they're elite. Rams defense is really good. Saints defense is really good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I hope I'm wrong, John. I hope Ryan throws for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns on Sunday. I just don't see it.
Here's what upsets me about this Falcons team, and it's all year. It's you cannot put your finger on one thing. Everything you laid out about Matt Ryan is factually correct. There's nothing wrong with that. He's also a guy that's had the most drop passes in the league. You might have had 2 or 3 more 300-yard games if guys catch balls. You'd have over 4,000 yards. You probably have 6 or 7 less interceptions, and maybe you add 2 or 3 more touchdowns. But nothing has looked right with this Falcons team really since the second half, maybe the fourth quarter of the Green Bay game. Chicago game was a little struggle. Green Bay, you came out like a house on fire, and then it kind of slowed down from there. And ever since, I can put the turning point. You're up, I believe it's 17-3 on the Lions with the ball at the end of the first half, and Matt Ryan throws a pick 6, and suddenly Detroit's back in the game. And from that point on, this team has not looked right. You've had stretches where they played some really good football. You could point to the Dallas game, you could point to the Seattle game, the Tampa game. They looked really good. There's been stretches, though, that you scratch your head and go, how do you score 9 points against Minnesota? How do you not score 2 different times inside the 5-yard line against New Orleans? Don't get a single point out of there. How do you blow a 17-0 lead against Miami, and how do you let Buffalo really dominate the game? It's been a lot of different things, but to answer your question, I'm hopeful that Matt Ryan could at some point, hopefully starting this Sunday, put a 350-3 score. But the body of work this year does not lead me to believe that that's going to happen with this Falcons team.
Let me drop a couple of stats on you, John. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. We're on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, the game 425, Falcons-Panthers. You get it. You're going to hear it right here. Dave Archer, we had him on Wednesday, John, as we always do at noon. And I asked him, have you ever seen a season for a single team that has had this many drop balls lead to interceptions? And he said, no, he's never seen it in all of his decades of playing and following and analyzing football. He also said he talked to Matt Ryan about it. Matt Ryan has never been on a team or seen a team that has had this many drop passes lead directly to interceptions. And Arch gave us this stat. 7 of Matt Ryan's 12 interceptions are on tip balls.
Yep.
Okay, so it actually should be 5 or maybe 6 or 7 because a tip-ball interception is going to happen from time to time. But 7 in a year is unconscionable. Let me drop another stat on you. You mentioned drops and we lead the league. We do. This number is not right. I mean, it is, I guess, officially. I guess I'm a little bit too stringent on what is a drop and what is not a drop. When Mohamed Sanu on a quick out, 5-yard out, gets one hand on the ball and it lands incomplete, that's a drop. And I'm not talking about a diver. Right. I'm talking about he's standing, tries to make a one-handed grab. That's a drop, yo. You got a hand on the ball. So anyway, but the Falcons are tied for the league lead in drops, 28, with the San Francisco 49ers. But I can tell you right now that the number's over 30, that they're a lot more generous in the scoring of the drop or not a drop than I would be. The number is north of 30. And to me, John, based on what I see, and remember the stat I showed, CBS had it, and it was like we were third in drops coming in.
Right.
That next game, we dropped 5 balls.
Right. And they only bumped us for like 2.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, we do, in fact, lead the NFL in drop balls.
I think the most frustrating part about all this is Matt Ryan right now has the lowest touchdowns he's had in his career, save his rookie year. We only had 16. The next lowest was 21 back in 2015. He's got to throw 2 this week against Carolina to get back to 2015. Well, remember, in 2015, he threw for almost 4,600 yards. The problem was he had a lot of inopportune turnovers that were on Matt Ryan. Those were bad throws. This year, it's just something has been amiss. The team has not functioned as a whole. Matt Ryan's been part of the funk. And I've seen stuff, it just doesn't seem like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like, you know, last year the belief was there. Every time we got the football, we were going to go down and get points. It doesn't seem like that's there right now. And maybe that's just my perspective.
It's all like, of us are feeling the same grind right now
trying to get anywhere. And I'm hoping maybe this week against Carolina is the magic elixir. And you get into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden you can relax. Because you just go, all right, we're the 6th seed. Nobody expects us to do a damn thing.
I need – Joe, we talked yesterday about, John, it was Stan. Which fills your cup more? Trust, faith, belief, or hope? Those 4 things. And the only thing that I have of those 4 things is hope. That's it. I don't trust this team anymore. My belief is there, kind of. I certainly don't trust this team, you know, based on all the – so you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you with me that it's basically all hope at this point? Like, you're just – you got your fingers crossed – and you're hoping, and you got your popcorn, and you can't really eat popcorn with your fingers crossed. But you know what I'm saying. Is that all you got?
Dude, you can cross your fingers and just grab a whole wad of popcorn, just shove it in your mouth. I've seen my kids do it, and it ends up on the floor.
What do they call it? The rumba?
Yeah.
It comes over.
The rumba?
Yeah.
The rumba, I think, is a dance. I have hope, obviously, and I still have belief because there's so much talent on this team.
How much belief?
It's waning. It's not the same that it was a month ago. It's not the same that it was 3 months
ago. Yeah, so I told Stan yesterday, mine's about 20% belief. Coming into the season, 100% mm-hmm. belief. Now it's about 20. Like, where are you at on a 100% scale?
I don't know. 40. I'm more believer than you. More, a little bit.
Believer? Is that what you said?
Believer. I'm more believer. Not believe land, believer.
You were a little bit hard on the believer last night.
No, I actually was too hard on building a new bed. Let me tell you. Whoever you engineers are that engineer putting something together, how about give us tools that actually work? And I have my own. First of all, the Allen wrench is the stupidest piece of junk that I have ever used. That little stupid square thing. Like, give me a power bit that goes, eh. I got to sit here with like a metal wrench that has nothing on the side. This stupid Allen wrench trying to crank bolts in. And they give you 745 bolts. It's so ridiculous.
You lost me at Allen wrench. Let's take it.
Do you have
streets.
An Allen wrench?
I probably somewhere. I don't even know what it looks like or how to use it.
You know where it's at with my Remember the Titans DVD and Varsity Blues.
It is buried in the recesses of our storage spaces. All right, let's go to Blaine and Marietta. Blaine, Rick and John clowning around, couple of days to New Year's Eve, and we're asking the question, are you resigned to the fact that Matt Ryan's just having one of those years, or do you think he can rekindle it and get back to MVP form?
I'm resigned to the fact that he's having one of those years, but I'm like you, bud. I'm hoping that it all gels and it gels at the right time. I'm from Columbus, Georgia. I'm 61. I've been riding and dying with the Falcons and the Braves. Used to be the Hawks till Dominique left, and then I kind of forgot who they were. But I had wanted to make a quick comment about being an SEC fan. I'm an Auburn fan. Columbus is only 38 miles from Auburn. But I pull for SEC because you guys are too young to remember the Rose Bowl buys. We were locked out. We couldn't play in the Rose Bowl. You had the Notre Dame Independent buys. So finally, we created our own championship game, and we actually shamed other conferences into creating theirs. And plus, you know, the Big Ten, they couldn't count for a long time because they had 11 teams. And they were the Big Ten. And plus, I don't think anybody ought to win anything above the Mason-Dixon but their own state lottery. You guys have a great one.
Blaine, have a great New Year's Day. Boy, that is the most
what a call.
SEC take in the history of SEC takes.
Here's what was great about it, though. It wasn't just, homie, like, has the history, yeah. Man.
Yes, I am. Look, I am too young to remember the Rose Bowl bias.
I did not know that. And you know me, I'm a historian. I love learning about college football because I'm, you know, new to the history of it. That was dope. Blaine, way to go, dude.
I will also
Emma,
say
was
this.
It a little bit gangster, too? A little bit?
Dope gangster. On it!
We'll say this. The SEC may not have shamed people into getting an SEC or a championship game.
Yeah.
What conferences saw is, wait a second, TVs are willing to pay how much? Yep, we'll put a conference championship together.
I like how Blaine said the SEC shamed every other conference into creating their own conference championship game and took a shot at the Big Ten for not understanding math. That was awesome. It was super dope.
Did you know Tulane used to be part of the SEC?
Did not know that. The Green Wave.
Yeah, 1932 to 1966. You do know Georgia Tech used to be in the
SEC.
I do know that. Those are the only ones.
Yeah, Paul Johnson was still he was coaching them way back then, too.
What's that, the School of the South?
And shoving kids out onto the field with the next play.
Sewanee or Sewanee, however you say that. How do you say that school in Tennessee?
Swanee?
Is it Swanee? Okay, Swanee. They were in the conference.
There's only like three of the letters in the word actually matter. It's just Swanee.
Yeah, just get them all together and just spit it on out. Let's go back to the phones, 404-741-0929. Our buddy Brandon in Lindale wants to talk about what he's right and wrong about. And I'm sure sound off on the Falcons. Brandon, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, brother. Hope you got some really good stuff for Christmas.
I did. I got my PS4, so that's I'm happy.
Well, I got a nice video from Paul Bible, but I don't want to mention too much about it twice in a day. That was really meant more for Rick than it was for me. But
was it either Booby Christmas or Booty Christmas? Is that what it was? That's been quite popular on Twitter over the last month.
I don't know. She just said she was a Russian immigrant and didn't know the words, but I didn't even know she was singing a song the whole time she was talking. I was concentrating on something else. Georgia Tech and West Virginia ought to come back to the SEC and us have 16 teams. But I would want to say that I was resounding to the fact that Matt Ryan's having one of those years. But for just once in my life, I'm going to take up for Matt Ryan and say the rest of the team is having one of those years. Matt Ryan can't catch touchdown passes he throws to himself. He doesn't drop balls that he throws to himself. And this offense feels so one-dimensional that we don't have checks out to run other types of plays. We don't have three plays built into one. It seems like we line up and we know what we're going to do and they know what we're going to do. And a lot of times they stop us. And I can't really hang that on Matt Ryan. Maybe it just is the curse. Maybe it is a Super Bowl hangover. Who knows? And I was right about Jalen Hurts. I told you guys last year that Bama would lose a big pivotal game and it would be his fault. And he made so many mistakes in that Auburn game that he did cost us that game. And I really don't know what he's going to do against Clemson next week. If he has a bad game, we're going to get blown out.
Well, Brandon, we've talked about it, man. I think Tua should have gotten into that Auburn game. And so I'm more of a Tua guy than a Jalen Hurts guy. John, I want to talk Falcons and Don Terry Poe with you. We were super frustrated. We've been talking about it all week. It has been working. not like the Fridge Perry with the Bears, 85 Bears back in the day. That was the most money, big guy, fullback scenario ever. But Poe's been really good,
yeah.
And it's been effective. And he has road graded some touchdowns for us. Why was that not the scenario when Devontae had the butt fumble or when Julio was robbed of a TD and then you had that? Why wasn't Poe in the game?
Yeah, I can't speak. I have no idea. There's certain things that I wish I had a headset and could listen in. I do have headphones on, but it's listening to Wes and Arch, and they'll come down to me. But I don't know why Dontari Poe's not in there. You had first.
Were you
goal
frustrated
at the,
too?
Yeah, you have first and goal at the one after a momentum-changing play by Debo.
Mm-hmm.
You punch that in, it's 13-7. That game is completely
on.
Different.
Game on, baby.
Now you're feeling good. You're in the game. You've overcome a really bad first half. You've overcome, you know, a Marvin Hall drop that turned into a pick that turned into a touchdown. You're in the game. The second one, you've got fourth and one, and it's probably 2 inches. You got to call QB sneak and have Dontari Poe just run up the back of Matt Ryan
yep.
and shove him in the end zone.
I mean, just do the Drew Brees thing. Just jump, get the ball over the plane real quick, and then bring it back into your belly.
Whatever.
How many times
be.
Has Drew Brees done that?
A ton.
And Drew Brees is, what, 4 inches shorter than Matt Ryan?
At least.
So I'm just saying.
Drew Brees about Paul Bible's height, somewhere in there.
Why you got to take a shot at Bible?
Because Preacher Man's short. I can't help it. Him and Bo. Actually, I think Preacher Man would have post moves on Bo. Bo just get angry and throw his jersey like he did in a church league before. Take a break. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. 404-741-0929. Also, an NFL bounce. We'll talk about what the Rams are doing and how that could impact the Falcons if we beat Carolina. That's pretty convoluted, and we'll explain it next.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
It's a Monday.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason on a Monday, you two knuckleheads giving us a full segment performance for Week in Review.
We're making up for lost time, Emma.
We normally do this on Friday, so we're very special Monday Day in Review.
Your thumbs have gotten bigger. You know, you look like you've done a nice thumb exercise all year.
I gave yesterday to charity, okay? I gave it to her okay. The whole day.
You got the back sweat going. All of a sudden, you got a wet, you know, wet midsection.
So did it go clang, thud, thud.
So what does he have to do instead of thump it?
Stroke it.
Okay.
Consistently stroke it. Nope. So I'm admitting I'm wrong here. I'm definitely with you. The decision is very simply to stay home. So I'm admitting I'm wrong here.
We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go.
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right. Y'all are crazy, man. Rick and John partying here in the Kia studio. Sans booze. That's saved for the weekend. It's our NFL Bounce. It's brought to you by
230.
Cobb County. Kia, sounds like a good plan, John. I got to go to NBA TV and chase checks over there, and then maybe tonight. But the NFL Bounce is brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Go to cobbcountykia.com for info on the Kia Sorento. A little show called 10 Before Tips, 6:30 tonight. Your boy will be hosting. I will be wearing skinny-ish jeans, if you want to check me out.
What would you say they were? What were they called earlier?
I don't know. What did I say?
What do you say, like gene potential or?
Gene-ish?
Yeah, no, they weren't gene-ish. Gene-like.
Skinny jean-ish?
I don't know what you're
talking. Oh, it was the Jackies. They're like kind of khaki kind of jean. They're kind of a blend, kind of a medley
of
fabric.
Is that what you're wearing now?
I don't know. I'm wearing sweatpants right now. I got the you know what, John? I'm on short-timer syndrome for sure. I'm flying to New York tomorrow. I'm going to see Fish and the Disco Biscuits in New York City tomorrow.
Let's pay off this tease.
Are you kidding me?
Let's pay off this tease because that's what the bosses like us to do. I tease that the Rams are doing something that could impact the Saints, which then could, in fact, impact the Falcons if the Falcons make it into the playoffs. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald all will not play for the Rams in the Week 17 game. Sean McVay has openly said that the Rams have basically go, it doesn't matter if we're the 3 or the 4 seed. They've already wrapped up the division. They will have to play in the opening weekend of the playoffs, and they're going to have a home game. Health is more important. Well, here's how this could impact the Falcons. Falcons get in the playoffs. We're the 6 seed. The end. You're getting in as 6. You're going on the road. If New Orleans wins and the Rams lose on Sunday, New Orleans goes to the 3 seed. You know where we then go to the playoffs? We go right back to crappy Bourbon Street and Stinky Town and go play that group once again.
I'm okay with that.
Me too.
I'm okay with going to L.A. to play the Rams. I'm okay with going to New Orleans to play the Saints. The referees were too involved in both games between the Falcons and the Saints. Hopefully, if they play again, they get out of the way and let the Falcons and Saints decide who wins the football game. Look, John, The first game that we won, coin flip game. The second game that we lost, I know it was 23-13, but that was a coin flip game. We had all those, you know, knocking on the door scenarios to score touchdowns. We only lost by 10. There were, we determined 7 brutile calls that went against our Falcons. So they were both coin flip games. Game on. John, there is not, and I understand what I've been saying here about all I got is hope. I really don't have that much belief yet. If we beat Carolina, or when we beat Carolina, that belief will fill almost all the way back up because we will have gone through the marathon and made the playoffs. Which at which point, John, you hit the reset button. Everybody's 0-0, and we've seen Ray Lewis's Ravens shock the world. Eli Manning's Giants shock the world. Maybe, and I wouldn't be saying this if we were kind of a hole with a team with a bunch of holes in it. Mm-hmm. But we are a super talented team that maybe if you get into the playoffs, stuff starts to go right for you.
Yeah, and that's what the hope is all about. And that's why I still do have belief in this football team. I look around and I go, Julio's still Julio. Even in a what's considered down year for Julio, he's 3rd in the NFL in receiving yards. Put that in perspective.
This has to be a career high in drops for Julio Jones.
Yeah, he hadn't had a great year. Even Matt Ryan in a down year, and it has been a down year, he's put the ball on the money in a lot of times, and his receivers have betrayed him. The defense is a top 10 defense. We spent all summer going, if this defense goes here, we know this offense can be here. Unfortunately, the offense hadn't held up its end of the bargain. We know Devontae Freeman's a premier back. We know Tevin Coleman's a premier backup running back. You've got all that in place. You just got to get to the dance. I don't care where we go.
Uh-huh.
I know we're on the road. I just want to be part of the 6 that represent the NFC.
I like us better on the road anyway, and I like us out of that 1 o'clock window. John, our Falcons are 5-1 in 4 or 8 o'clock games, and they're 4-5 in 1 o'clock games. There are 1 o'clock games in the playoffs if you get that Sunday 1 o'clock game. So I hope that we are not ever put in that window. I want to be Saturday at 4, Saturday at 8, or Sunday at 4.
Yeah, you know who's going to get the Sunday at 1? Whatever the AFC matchup is. It's going to be AFC West, Kansas City, and I don't know. Who would they play? Houston? No, not Houston.
Not sure. There's 2 teams in the AFC, John.
Yeah.
2. That's it. There's 2 teams that need a plot.
New England and Pittsburgh.
It's New England and Pittsburgh. And, John, the plot has thickened, of course, with James Harrison.
Yep.
Going up to New England.
Why wouldn't he?
Now, have you seen what his former teammates with the Steelers are saying about him?
They're not happy.
They're not happy at all. And basically, to back up a little bit, what the Pittsburgh side is saying is that the agreement all along was for James Harrison to come in, not unlike Spoon with the Falcons, and be a bit of a figurehead, a bit of a rah-rah guy, a bit of a coach/player. We're not going to play you very much. We're going to go with the young guys. Well, Harrison hung in there with that plan for a while, but eventually got frustrated with it. And, John, he played, it was 40 snaps in 14 games. 40 snaps in 14 games.
So, like 3 a game.
Yeah, so they barely used him at all. So he got frustrated, wanted out, goes to New England. Now, Marquise Pouncey, the great center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, says, if you didn't want to be here, come out and say it. Don't make it look like it's the team's fault. Mm-hmm. You think the team and the organization wanted to get rid of James Harrison? Come on now. If I wanted out, I wouldn't let the team take the blame for it. And Marquise Pouncey also said he erased his own legacy. So there is bad blood all of a sudden between Harrison and his former team, and I love it.
You add that to the fact that you had a very controversial ending to the last game that they played. New England now would have the home field advantage over Pittsburgh if you get to an AFC championship game scenario. Do you envision any way that somebody other than those two teams plays in the AFC title game?
Nope.
The only one I see, and I know I don't trust Jacksonville either, if their defense has those hot days in the divisional round, that day where they, and it would most likely be Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, where all of a sudden their defense just takes over and shuts down the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the problem is Blake Bortles was putting together some pretty good work.
Yep.
And then the San Francisco game happened, and it washed away all of the clutch and efficient play that Blake Bortles has had this year for me, because that's a game that could have impacted you in terms of playoff seeding and all that kind of stuff, and you wet the bed against the Niners, who are playing better football, John. They're like the hottest team in the league right now. But nevertheless, Blake Bortles reverted to Blake Bortles in that game. So you're right. Do they have a puncher shot? Yes. I don't think they're going to beat either Pittsburgh or New England.
What about Kansas City in a potential 4-1 matchup going against New England, a team that they mud stomped earlier in the year.
Who coaches the Kansas City Chiefs?
That would be Andy Reid.
Okay, and Andy Reid's legacy is that of Marty Schottenheimer. It's that of Mike D'Antoni. It's that of being a great regular season coach and a lousy playoff coach. I'll bet against him.
That's your point, Mike D'Antoni.
They also have Alex Smith. Okay, what is going on with Patrick Mahomes starting week 17? I get it. KC's got it all locked up, and they won the AFC West and all that kind of stuff. No. What you are doing is opening Pandora's box with this. You start Alex Smith, and then maybe you come with Patrick Mahomes, mid-second quarter, mid-third quarter, whatever it is. You now have opened the Pandora's box on a quarterback controversy. Because what if Mahomes goes out there and accumulates four or five touchdowns? The fans have wanted him all year anyway.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go into a playoff scenario. Let's say Alex Smith and the Chiefs go three and out. Now, where are you at in your playoff game? Are you going, well, I got this sexy rook that we made a huge trade to move up and get. He just rocked and rolled in week 17. I mean, this is opening Pandora's box. This is a terrible move.
In your scenario, remember, Alex Smith's not going to be back next year anyway. It's going to be Mahomes' team. So if Alex Smith at the beginning of the playoff game is horrible and you turn to Patrick Mahomes, go for it. But here's my thing. You're not winning the Super Bowl anyway in Kansas City.
Well, then you needed to start grooming Patrick Mahomes about a month ago.
I agree. The issue was you got off to a 5-0 start, and people said maybe you are going to win the Super Bowl. That's the whole issue there. You know who else has issues right now? Deshaun Jackson.
Thank God you didn't say Deshaun Watson.
No, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson
dude.
Has suffered a setback. Oh, my God.
No.
I would have cried. I would have curled up in that corner and gone fetal and cried myself to sleep.
Did you see the story that's what's going on with Deshaun Jackson? Yeah. So, according to police in Tampa, there was a car involved in a Christmas Eve crash found to contain both marijuana and hollow point bullets. Jackson, though, not driving the car when it stuck a tree, a spokesperson told what's your boy's name, Mike Garofalo, adding neither the marijuana nor the bullets belong to him. But a police report cited the NFL Network story indicates that an investigation is still underway after a Chevy Silverado was found abandoned. Two .38 caliber bullets found inside the car in Florida are legal, but possession of less than 20 grams of marijuana, which was found, considered a misdemeanor. He had 6.3 grams of marijuana, and our weed guys can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. How much is that? Can you get like a cookie?
I don't know.
Can you do a blunt? I don't know. That's not really my realm.
This is what I know. And I got to be careful because I don't want to get, called into an office for defamation of character or anything like this. I'm not buying this story one single bit.
Yeah.
That Deshaun Jackson was not the driver of this vehicle. I'm not buying it. He might have, one of his buddies may have just taken the car and gone on a joyride with bullets and weed. I'm not buying it. I think Deshaun was in that car. I think something went wrong.
Right.
Didn't want, to get in trouble and flee the scene. That's personally what I think. Do you agree with me?
He says he was out of town. Now, the easiest way to prove that you were out of town, hey, here's my credit card statements from being in this place when the car crash occurred. It seems really fishy.
Has
to
that
me.
Been proven yet?
No, not
okay.
yet.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Hugh Douglas also was talking about Deshaun Jackson owns 20-plus cars. Around the room real quick, and I'm kind of stealing something from the morning show.
20-plus cars?
20-plus cars.
Damn.
Do you let anybody borrow your car?
If you needed, if you were hanging out and, hey, man, can I run to the store real quick? Yeah, here's my keys. Take my car.
But if you're out of town, take the Silverado. Take the Kia Sorento.
I mean, I might say to him.
Family members.
My good buddies, I would let.
Family members, yes.
All you guys in this room, I would trust you with my Kia Sorento.
I'll be honest, I'm not. I'm not giving you guys my car. I'm just not. I think there's maybe five people on the planet I'd give my car to when I'm out of town. My wife, my mother, Carnell, Jamal, and Rashawn. That's it. Those are like my three besties. I said besties. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get killed for that. Those are my three best friends
in Atlanta.
Go ahead
and wrap that up with a bow for Friday's Week in Review. That was incredibly soft.
Sir, are you saying we're not your besties?
You're my workies.
Besties. Are you serious? You've been hanging around with women too much over the last 4 or 5 days, haven't you? You want to take a selfie right now, John?
Why, and an ussie. We'll do an ussie. All of Mark, you letting anybody hold your car? Get off me and get to Mark.
Oh, poor John's all up in his feelings after Christmas.
Mo, you're my bestie.
You're my
bestie. You always will be.
This is the bestie midday right here.
That's not what I was trying to say.
All right, coming up next from the Bible, the Book of Mark. So, gentlemen, got a question for you.
Answer my question.
We're besties. But the question is, are you ghetto or are you white trash? What kind of besties are you? Plus, a legit best of 2017.
For real.
For the city of Atlanta. We'll explain next. From the Bible Book of Mark, coming up next, Sports Radio 929.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Do you let anybody borrow your car?
No, but yeah. Like, if you needed, if you were hanging out and, hey, man, can I run to the store real quick? Yeah, here's my keys, take my car.
But if you're out of town, you're not, hey, dude, take the Silverado.
Yes. All you guys in this room, I would trust you with my Kia Sorento.
I'll be honest, I'm not. I'm not giving you guys my car. I'm just not. I think there's maybe five people on the planet I'd give my car to when I'm out of town. My wife, my mother, Carnell, Jamal, and Rashawn. That's it. Those are like my three besties. I said besties. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get killed for that. Those are my three best friends.
That was incredibly soft.
So are you saying we're not your besties?
You're my workies.
Besties. Are you serious? You've been hanging around with women too much over the last
way
four or five
much.
Days, haven't you?
The only
you want to take a selfie right now, John?
Why, and an Aussie. We'll do an Aussie. All of
well, Rick and John bring the knowledge.
You're smart.
Preacher Man brings these stories you missed. And yes, the research material.
Open up. Air out.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Good times, man. Good times. And then there was the worst year-end list ever authored by a newspaper or website. And you know, M.O., you brought us this list yesterday in the Book of Mark, and I thank you for that. Because you had stupid rankings like the Georgia Dome implosion at number 5 above the Falcons winning the NFC Championship. But I scrolled down the list a little bit, M.O., and number 14 on the AJC's top 50 list of sports moments in Atlanta. Number 16 is Hawks hire GM Travis Schlenk. Okay, cool. Number 14 is Hawks makeover front office. A, isn't that the same thing? B, how are you going to put a vague Hawks makeover front office over the actual hire of the guy? John, did a drunk intern come up with this list of top 50 sports moments in Atlanta at the AJC? I thought the AJC was better than this.
Apparently not.
So if you missed it, real quick, From the Bible, bookmark are brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS, 770-4FLOODS, and that's Dunn Waterproofing. So here's what they had, John, as their top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So AJC did a countdown. Biggest sports moments in Atlanta in 2017. Number 10, Matt Ryan being named the MVP.
Okay.
10th.
Ninth, the national anthem protest.
Really? I didn't know that that was that huge.
Did that even go on here, John?
Yeah, there was like one. There was a moment where it was Grady Jarrett uh-huh. and one other player took a knee.
I think the drama up at KSU with the cheerleaders kneeling, which leading to the president resigning from KSU. Sure. Sherholtz inducted into Cooperstown, number 8. Number 7, Georgia winning the SEC. Number
Shouldn't
6.
Shouldn't that be higher?
I agree.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Falcons winning the NFC Championship. Number 5. The dome being imploded, number 5
stupidest ranking
moment
of all time.
Number 4, SunTrust
Park. A building
Park.
With rubble, and it's number 5.
Number 4, SunTrust. Number 3, Mercedes-Benz opens. Mm-hmm. Copy receives a lifetime ban. Okay. And number 2, I'd agree with that. And number 1, Falcons collapse in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So
I can agree with 1. That's number 1.
What is your list, John?
All right,
just top 5?
Creep your own
top 5.
Head.
And, M.O., did you do your top 5, too?
I got
too?
One, and Brian's got one
BG,
as well.
BG, you did, too. Okay, let's go around the room.
All right, let's
John.
Bounce around the room. I will start. Number 5 for me is the new stadiums in town, and I'm lumping them both together. It's SunTrust Park opening. It's Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Seems
opening.
Reasonable.
I think that's a huge story. We got upgrades at both new stadiums. Mercedes-Benz, we did shows there when it was just, construction pipes and everything else there. Number 4 for me is the Braves scandal. I think it got swept under the rug only because it happened in the middle of football season. We're talking playoffs. We're talking Falcons. We weren't really thinking about the Braves and everything that was going on there, but that scandal's gigantic. You lost one of your top international prospects, and now you've lost the ability to really go out after international prospects the same. Number 3 for me, Atlanta United's season. Rick, we've talked about we were not soccer guys coming into this. We kind of looked at it with, I don't know, I'm trying to think the best way. We looked at it with curious eyes.
Confused colored glasses.
Yeah, curious and confused glasses. Okay, we'll see what this is all about. And what they did made me sit and watch soccer on days that I would have been out in the backyard jumping on the trampoline with the kids. So Atlanta United season, and they're here to stay. We have Jason Longshore in every week, and we're actually going through like transactions of the offseason. Number 2 for me, Georgia going to the college football playoffs. Nobody anticipated this. Okay, I picked them to go 11-1, but I picked them to lose in the SEC title game. Even the biggest Georgia fans didn't say before the year, we're going to the playoffs. If they tell you that now, they're lying because they didn't really believe that back in August. And number one for me is the Falcons Super Bowl run. What happened in a Saturday or a Sunday against Seattle and a Sunday against Green Bay and that week we spent in Houston, in all the years I've been doing sports radio here in this town, there's nothing that's topped the Falcons going to the Super Bowl.
Our lists are very similar. You know, stadiums opening, it's a big deal, but it's business and economy and revenue and kind of boring to me, so I didn't put that in my top five. Number five for me, John, is the Hawks sinking to the bottom, okay? It was about three or four years overdue. Not 3 or 4 years, a couple years overdue, I would say. You say bye-bye to Dwight Howard, Paul Millsap, Tim Hardaway, and boo, you sink to the bottom, and now we're going to get ping-pong balls and a really, really good pick. Number four. The Coppola lifetime ban for Major League Baseball. And you know what, M.O.? It's just so gangster that an executive with one of our professional teams got a lifetime ban from the league. I think it's awesome, actually. Number three, Matt Ryan winning MVP.
Yeah.
Never happened before in Falcons history. How many Braves MVPs were there? Didn't Dale Murphy win two?
Murphy won two. And
did Chipper win one?
Chipper.
Has Hank Aaron won one when he was in Atlanta? Probably.
I think he was a little past his prime at that point.
Maybe.
Hawks never had an MVP. So that to me is a really big deal. Matt Ryan, MVP number three. Number two, Georgia's run. SEC championship, going to the playoff, the Fromm Eason thing, Chubb and Michelle returning, Roquan winning the Buckus Award. And number one, John, is the Falcons, you know, making the Super Bowl. And as you said, the whole Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. So that's my top five. I think it's a lot better than the AJC's.
My number five is two stadiums opening in New Year's, $2 billion stadiums opening up in 1 year. Atlanta United, much like you, I have them at number four. This team that comes in, much of an unknown unless you're a diehard soccer fan, and we've admitted before, we're still learning, much to the chagrin to a lot of fans. Give us time, Atlanta United fans, we'll get there. It's an unknown, plus they are the talk of the entire MLS, setting attendance records.
Say it after me. It's the pitch. They play on the pitch.
The field they play on is phenomenal. Mercedes-Benz. Again, we're learning. I've got copy banned for life at number three. Because this wasn't a slap on the wrist. This wasn't we're taking some draft picks away and, you know, you're going to have to move your office to storage room B. You are banned for life.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
For life,
it's
Scott
It's like
Hall.
Being in the NWO.
That's right.
Sure, the NWO, you're for life.
I got the Falcons Super Bowl collapse at number two, and I'm going to do a little forward thinking in my number one top story for 2017, Georgia making it to a national championship.
Well, that would actually be in 2018, but okay, we got...
No, if you win. No, if you win.
I'm just messing with you.
Dang it, you're right.
By the way, Bo
Morgan, I like where you're going, though.
Brian Gebhardt both astutely said Terry Pendleton also won the MVP here for the Braves.
Oh, Terry Pendleton won an MVP?
Yeah, 91.
In the worst of first year. Yep.
He sure won did. MVP that year?
Absolutely.
Did not. I totally forgot that. Wow. Shout out to TP, man.
All right. Top five for me. Number five didn't even happen in Atlanta, but it was very Atlanta and the state. In September, the takeover of UGA fans and Falcons fans in Chicago and
that
South Bend.
Awesome.
Red and black. Sea of red and black all weekend up in Chicago and South Bend. Really cool event. Number four, new stadiums opening up. And specifically having that moment on Sunday Night Football against the Packers where the Falcons really put it to them, opening up that first big game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Number three, Atlanta United season, and specifically the home games. The atmosphere for those games, incredible. Number two, Matt Ryan MVP and the Super Bowl run for the Falcons. And number one was UGA SEC championship and making it to the college football playoff.
So you guys both have Georgia as the number one moment. You and I both have the Falcons.
Right, and none of us, I repeat, none of us, had the Georgia Dome implosion our top five. Because that's the stupidest ranking in the history of ranking of year-end rankings by newspapers.
What else we got, M.O.?
Real quick, I mean, looking at this list, like, you know me, I love to bag on Tech when possible, but they have Tech failing to make a bowl game as a top 30 moment.
Really?
But that's not a moment. Kyle Shanahan out, Steve Sark in at number 18. Not the best one. All right, real quick. All right, this one's for you, John. I've been sitting on this one for a little while. Now, there's a website out there called Road Snacks. They found the 10 most white trash cities in Georgia.
Wow.
They also found the 10 most ghetto cities in Georgia.
Uh-oh.
For the white trash, they use public government data, Google Maps. They use the metrics of a city where the residents are poor, lots of high school dropouts, drug use, violence, welfare, and cities that use payday loans or have a high volume of dollars. This is horrible.
Why did you save this for John Michaels? What are you saying?
Because this is right up his alley, because he fits in both categories.
I do.
All right, so using that
data, I have a payday loan due today.
Here's where Road Snacks consider the most white trash cities in the state of Georgia: Statesboro,
wow,
McDonough, Ackworth, okay, Noonan, Woodstock, Gainesville, Carrollton, Snellville, Decatur, and Rome.
So Snellville is one of the most white trash cities in America. Or
Snellville?
In Georgia.
Okay.
There's like three white people in Snellville. How can that even be possible?
And okay. Rick and Charity are two of them.
I mean, seriously.
Do you have a payday loan?
I don't even know what that is.
It's not a loan you want to take.
No, they'll give you $1,500. It's 78% interest.
Yeah. And you have to pay it back on Thursday.
With a guy named Marcel knocking on your door looking for the money.
Don't blame me. Blame the website Road Snacks. But here are the 10 most ghetto cities in the state of Georgia. Now, according to the Urban Dictionary, ghetto is defined as urban or relating to inner city life, poor or relating to the poor life. Their analytics: cheap discounted retail outlets, household income levels, high school graduation rates, number of convenience stores, number of beauty supply stores. This is all from
really?
Road Snacks.
It's not beauty supply stores. Are you kidding me?
All right, so, and a couple of these cross over to both white trash and ghetto. So according to Road Snacks, the most ghetto cities in Georgia: Norcross.
Are you kidding me?
Brunswick, Lawrenceville.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Buford,
I do live there.
Conyers, Gainesville, Milledgeville. Milledgeville's nothing. Marietta. How can Marietta? Marietta's nothing but like old people in historic homes. Waycross and Covington.
How is Marietta on that list?
I don't know.
So I'm in the third most ghetto city in the state of Georgia.
Yeah. And aren't you close to Buford? Because that's also.
And Buford's not too far.
Yeah. And you're also.
Really? Buford?
And I'm in the second or third most white trash city in all of Georgia?
And who says we aren't a show of the people? We've got every demographic covered here in the Midday Show. All right, the best of 17, your research material. Let's wrap it up from the Bible, the Book of Mark. Two of them for you. So open up the Googles, go to the incognito tab. Chloe Teray, Chloe Terae.
All right.
All right, one more for you. Daphne Joy. Of course, she doesn't spell it normally. D A P H N E Joy. Daphne Joy.
Okay.
There you go.
Spring joy this holiday season.
I was going to say, I think you'll get joy from that. Hey, you'll also have joy if you join 92.9 The Game tomorrow from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. It'll be the Midday Show. It's going to be me and Stan Norfleet from 10 to 2. It's Rick on Short Timer Syndrome. Already enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers and wings as the Twin Peaks girls serve you the coldest beer in Atlanta. Hang out with 92.9 The Game for lunch tomorrow at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Hey, my besties, you guys going to come hang out with me at Twin Peaks? Mark, you going to take your day off and come see us?
Only if we can share a soda.
We can. Or wings like Bo Morgan and I did.
Let me just say something really quickly here. Daphne Joy and Chloe Teray, one of the best combos of research material we have ever provided on the Midday Show with Rick and Joe.
Hey, what else we'll provide coming up next? Fred Khalil from CBS 46. He is live in Pasadena. We'll talk to him about dogs and Sooners next on 92.9 The Game.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Jim Johnson. Is it time to put him out to pasture or what?
I'll be honest, I'd rather them bring Tyler Johnson in relief than Jim Johnson. I'd rather them bring in Johnson and Johnson. Darius Johnson.
How about Woody Johnson?
Woody Johnson. I'd take Darius Johnson, who once played for the Atlanta Falcons. Anybody would be better than Jim Johnson right now. There should be a shock collar on Brian Snitker when he makes the call to the bullpen. I want Jim. Yeah! I want Jim. Yeah! No, you cannot get Jim anything.
1 o'clock, and this is Rick and John rolling through another show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, thankfully, Jim Johnson is no longer a Brave. I read recently that he was on another team. I can't remember that team. That's a them problem, not an us problem. In moments, we're going to bring on Fred Khalil of CBS 46, live from Pasadena. Trey has been on hold for 2 hours and 47 minutes. I'm kidding. It's been less than that, but Trey's been on hold for a minute. Let's get him in here. Hey, Trey, Happy New Year. Rick and John here just chilling in the Kia Studios. What up with you?
Hey, man, I just wanted to get in on the Matt Ryan talk.
All right.
Man, I still have faith, man. For the past 8 weeks now, man, I've been hoping that he has this miraculous 400-yard, three-touchdown day. But if it happened during the playoffs, man, hopefully he just take off during that time. That's when it matters the most.
It does, and we hope that we can get to the playoffs first and foremost, and that Matt Ryan returns to the form from last year. It is going to take help from the guys around him, though. Guys got to make plays. Guys got to catch passes. Guys got to block. Matt Ryan's been putting the ball where it's supposed to be. We chronicled with the drop balls. He could very easily be a high 68, 69% passer.
Matt Ryan this year, guys and girls, you remember in 2015, he had 21 combined turnovers. It was the second most in the NFL behind Blake Bortles. This year, he is at 12 interceptions and two lost fumbles, so he's at 14. I presume that there will be another turnover at least in this Carolina game. That's just kind of, you know, he's on about a one turnover per game pace. And John and me were talking about this off the air. I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with how the turnovers are happening.
Mm-hmm.
They're mental errors. They're concentration errors, right? All these tip ball interceptions. It's just annoying. But you can handle 12 interceptions and two lost fumbles from your quarterback that takes every snap. You can handle that. But what you have to do is make more plays than we have been making.
You absolutely have to make more plays than we've been making. I'm dumbfounded, Rick. I was going back doing some research. I didn't realize Hank Aaron only won one MVP ever. One. In 1957. Hank Aaron, the second most home runs in Major League Baseball history, some would argue he's still number one above Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds has the home run record in my eyes. But in fairness to those out there that want to make that argument, that's their thing. And he only won one MVP.
That's amazing. Shaquille O'Neal, one MVP.
Really?
Yep. How weird is that? You talk to him right now, he is butthurt to this day about Steve Nash stealing one of his MVP awards. Shaq should have probably three MVPs.
Yeah.
He's got one. Anyway, now, he's okay. He's got four rings, and he's got four mountains of money.
Hank Aaron did make the All-Star game just a cool 25 times. So for a quarter of a century, Hank Aaron was in the All-Star game.
I think Hank Aaron's the greatest baseball player of all time. I think he's the GOAT. Does it have what his lifelong batting average was, John?
305.
Give me a break.
755 in home runs, 2,297 RBI, which Brian is telling me is number one. All time
okay.
runs back.
How many hits? 3,000 something.
He's got to be over 3,000. Don't have that one. Oh, 3,771.
3,700?
Yeah.
He almost got to 4,000 hits?
Well, when you're an all-star for 25 straight years,
stop
you're
it.
Banging it around.
Hank Aaron's the GOAT, man. Drop the mic. Hank Aaron is the GOAT. Who's the GOAT for you?
Well, that's tough. Baseball is so hard for me to disseminate because you're talking about different eras.
What do you mean? You watch Babe Ruth play?
I know. No, I did not. I'm not John
Fricke. Point to the outfield.
I am not John Fricke. That's right. Babe Ruth and I went out and boozed it up on the town a couple of times. We had to take the horse and carriage back then because the automobile that me and Mr. Ford created was not yet around.
John still has the program from that game. He does. We love John
Fricke.
He wrote
the program.
We kid with John Fricke, and now we kid with Fred Khalil of CBS 46. Sports anchor, and he is live in Pasadena right now. Fred.
Or maybe he's not.
Are you still with us, Fred?
He hung up on us.
Bye-bye.
That's the first time I've hit the button and got the dial tone.
Apparently my intro sucked, and he said I'm out. So we'll get Fred Khalil back on live
from
Pasadena.
He actually thinks Fred McGriff is the greatest baseball player of all time, so he hung up on us.
He's got one of the coolest nicknames in baseball
crime
history.
Dog was awesome.
Crime Dog.
And he also made a great video with Tom Emanski. He can teach you defensive drills, how to throw that baseball right into the trash can.
Do you remember Fred McGriff had the hat with the mesh background? He had it on the top of his head. It wasn't even pulled down.
Yeah, the hat was too tall.
It was a weird, weird look. They needed a new director on that commercial for sure. Hey, Fred, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. What's up?
Fred Khalil from CBS 46. Rick and John, man, we're throwing our typical midday party here, Fred. And you're live in Pasadena, where it's going to be a legitimate party at the Rose Bowl. We've been talking today a lot between John and I and with our callers. Do you feel like the stage is going to be too big for Jake Fromm? Neither of us do, Fred. What says you?
You know what? I agree with both of you. I don't think so at all because, you know, today really kind of set the tone. He actually was in the media session today for the first time. That's the first time Jake, to my knowledge, has spoken all year on camera and to the media, and he was part of the media session today, and along with Jim Chaney and Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Jeb Blazevich, those guys. And really, you know, the guys talked about in the 7-on-7 drills when Jake came in and really even started talking a little bit of trash to the defense. I guess he threw one behind the defense for a touchdown, and he just started talking to him. And then the guy said, man, when he did that, we said, all right, let's go.
We've got Fred Khalil with us live here in Pasadena talking Dogs and Sooners. on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Let me ask you, Fred, you're out there early. I know a lot of Georgia fans have made this kind of just a long vacation weekend. What's the contingency look like of Georgia fans that's out in that area already? Have you seen a lot of red and black?
I've seen a lot of red and black. I've seen a lot. Well, you know, you've got maroon, too, so I've seen a lot of maroon and red and black. You got to remember, Oklahoma is obviously a well-followed, well-traveled program as well. So, really, these are two of the big historic programs, I think, in all of college football. And I've seen some dog fans out there when we went to Disneyland with the team. But we've seen a lot of Sooners fans, too. So, it's going to be a pretty obviously well-attended. But, I mean, it's going to be a pretty intense game, I think, from the fan standpoint as well.
Can't wait, man. 5 o'clock on New Year's Day. Fred Khalil is going to be there. He is live from Pasadena on the WadeFord.com hotline. Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Fred, in terms of Kirby Smart, last year he had some, I think, errors and mistakes in terms of game management, clock management, taking timeouts, when to go for it, when to punt or kick. I thought he struggled in that area in some games. The Tennessee game immediately comes to mind. This year, it's been a lot of blowouts. Do you feel like if it's a one-possession game in the fourth quarter that Kirby Smart is going to push the right buttons on that big stage?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think so, yeah. I mean, he's had a year under his belt, and that was a learning year, so to speak. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen in a big game because you don't know what goes through anybody's head. You know, we're all watching it going, okay, do this, do this, do this. And, you know, I'm sure he's thinking some of the same things, but he's also got, other people in his ear and other things that measured that he has to really, you know, take care of and manage the game. And I think if it comes down, he's got the players. I mean, let's put it that way. He's definitely got the players to make it happen.
Fred, one of the things Rick and I have been talking about is the pace of the game and where we think it wants to be played. I'm on the side that if the game gets into the 30s, it's probably a game Georgia doesn't win. But I think Georgia's defense can slow down Baker Mayfield enough for Georgia to win and win it in the 20s. Do you think Georgia can win a game if it gets into the 30s?
I think they can. I don't know if they can, but I think they can because, you know, the underrated part of Georgia's offense, I think, are their wide receivers. I mean, just their receivers, not wide receivers, but their receivers. I mean, you've got Terry Godwin that they've been using. Javon Wims that, you know, can stretch the field. So those guys can get deep, and they can score. So, I know I sound like an old man, but if they can get to the point where they're getting some good gains on the ground, then they'll be able to throw it deep. They'll be able to throw it deep, and Jake will be able to have, you know, a couple of guys open downfield.
Fred Khalil joining us here, CBS 46. And, I'm just curious if you have any, specific – recruiting stories from this, much ballyhooed class. A lot of people are saying it's ranking up with one of the best recruiting classes in the history of college football. So, Fred, just with you covering the Dogs as closely as you do, do you have a particular tale about one of these recruits you'd like to drop on us?
One of the recruits, you mean within the last year or so?
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
Well, I think that the big one, really, I think, is Jake Fromm. And there was never really a question. You know, that's what really got me was, he talked today. I mean, there was never a question of where he was going to go. He grew up a Bulldog fan. He loved the Bulldogs. And that's where he was going to go. And then he comes in the spring and starts talking junk to the DBs. I mean, what does that tell you, man? Here's a guy that, maybe missed his senior prom so he could come in and talk trash to college defensive backs that he's going to be competing against in the fall. I mean, it wasn't the spring, but in the fall as well. I mean, that to me, that's a great story, right? To me, it is.
Fred, unfortunately, a really sad story. A woman that you work with, Amanda Davis, passed away tragically in just the last day or so. What's your number one memory of Amanda? I got a chance to work a charity event with her, one of the sweetest women that I had ever met. You had a chance to work with her at CBS 46. Do you have any memories you wanted to share about Miss Davis?
Well, her and I actually anchored together when they blew up the Georgia Dome. And we were joking that day, we were the only two that, we've been around long enough to remember when they opened this place. Now they're going to blow it up. But she really was a consummate professional. She was she was always put together really well. I mean, she always looked good. I mean, she's a pretty girl anyway, but she looked good. She had a great smile.
And I think that's what I'll miss the most is just seeing her smile. And I'm so glad I had a chance to do that event with her. You know, I think it was so nice that I was able to do that. Selfishly, I'm saying that, but we're all going to miss her, and she's really a great lady and was, you know, meant a lot to the city of Atlanta. I mean, you know, she's in Atlanta 30-plus years, so, you know, she came into a lot of people's living rooms for a long, long time.
Yeah, God bless Amanda Davis and everybody who's, you know, condolences out to family and friends, people that were fans of hers, whose lives were touched by Amanda Davis. It is a great, great loss for the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia. Fred, really appreciate your time, man. Enjoy your time out in Pasadena, and hopefully the Dogs can come back victorious.
Anytime, fellas. All right, talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Fred Khalil from CBS 46, our guy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can't imagine what it's like, you know, you live in this town and you cover this team. I mean, we went through it a year ago. I've been in Atlanta. It'll be 20 years next year. You've been here, what, about 8 years?
10.
Wow, 10 already.
Yep, 10.
Okay, so 30 years combined. But imagine, you know, for Fred, who's been covering Georgia for a long time, to finally get that chance to be on that stage. Like I said, we know it from a year ago. We felt like rock stars going to Houston. And every radio station was on Radio Row. Hey, we want to talk to you guys. Because you guys cover the Falcons every day, and that's how guys that cover Georgia feel about this run right now.
I love the spontaneity of Radio Row. You know, we had sort of a set schedule of appearances and people, the guys and girls were going to be interviewing, and then somebody would drop off for whatever reason, somebody else would come on, and it just was really crazy and random and spontaneous, and I loved it. I love that kind of radio or TV. Thanks again to Fred Khalil for joining us here. And in terms of, you know, can Georgia win this game at 30-plus points? John, we have been dissecting this game for 3 weeks, and I can't wait for the game because it's one thing, you know, to bridge a couple of weeks for Super Bowl and the analysis there. This is 3 weeks to a month out, and so I'm a little bit talked out, to be honest with you, about pre-analyzing this game. I want the friggin' game, bro. I want to see how this thing plays out.
This is the toughest thing, and it's the really biggest unknown when it comes to college championship games. Go back to the BCS. These guys would play on, just say, December 5th in a conference championship game and then wouldn't play till January 9th. You have no earthly idea what your team is on January 9th, and you only get, I think it's 15 bowl practices to get ready. So 15 days. You probably had 2 weeks off for finals, and going home. Some guys are on the banquet tour. Troy Smith got fat for Ohio State when they played in the national title game. You go on all of that. Now all of a sudden you come back and play football. It's a little different with the semifinals. And that's why I think so far you've seen semifinal games that haven't been as good. The championship games have been good in the college football playoff. Because you got two teams that just played a week ago and boom, we're going after it.
Yeah, they're back in rhythm.
Sometimes the semifinal games have been pretty ragtag and blowout.
No doubt about it. I don't think this year that's going to be the case, but it certainly has. There's been mismatches.
Somebody put something really big, and I believe I forgot who put it on Twitter, Rick, but it was spot on. This is the first year I think that all four teams legitimately can win the national title. You didn't feel that when Michigan State was in. You didn't feel it last year when Ohio State was in. This year, you really believe any one of these four can win it?
I don't.
You don't?
No, Oklahoma is not going to beat Georgia, and if they beat Georgia, they ain't beating Clemson or Alabama. Sure. I don't feel like Oklahoma can win this. I feel like the other three teams can.
I absolutely think Oklahoma can win the title. Will they? Probably.
You've been
not.
Hanging out with Knox too much.
No, I'm not picking Oklahoma State. Not doing that. Take a break. We'll come back. Which Falcon has the most pressure this week? It's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Give me an example of, you know you're old when.
You know you're old when you have to stretch to walk down the stairs in the morning. Here's a good one. When you, from the 678, you know you're old when you choose food over Nookie.
Can't trust a fart. That means you're old.
Yeah. I'll keep those coming in. Oh, man, these
are
funny.
By the way, John, you know how I say I don't fart in front of Charity?
Uh-huh.
But every time it accidentally happens, she laughs for like 5 consecutive minutes and actually like kind of likes it. So she's not even all butthurt if I fart.
Oh, this morning it was going down in my house. I had to wake up.
Thanks for listening to Rick and John. And if you missed anything, go subscribe on iTunes. Search 92.9 The Game.
Oh, here we go, Rick and John. Let's see. Rick Hamlin, do you have the strength and the concentration to make it 37 more minutes of radio on Sports Radio 92.9, the game, home of the Falcons.
Size point to know.
And Hawks in Atlanta United. I'm going to make it. I am going to make it. I'm going to push through. I'm on short-timer syndrome because tomorrow at this time, I will be on a Delta flight to New York City to see the Disco Biscuits and Fish. Yes, I'm seeing two shows, four sets of music tomorrow. And then I'm going to do it all over again on Saturday. That is after I watch John's Hurricanes beat Scotty.
Here's the great thing about this. You really only have like 11 more minutes because then Mark takes over with Reed between the lines. The audio plays. You can kind of just go, yeah, okay.
So I can just check out right now?
Sort of.
Actually, we got a cool Falcons topic, though, with the people. Talk with the people.
What do we want to just play grab blank?
Let's start with Falcons because I do feel like I have a hot take or two.
Okay.
And then let's get into the grab butting or whatever we do. Who has the most pressure on them for our Falcons this week? If y'all want to get involved, holler at your boys, 404-741-0929. First of all, there's pressure on everybody from Arthur Blank to McKay down to the janitor, okay? So just to say that, this is a win and in scenario. If you lose, you're probably dead. Mm-hmm. Pressure on everybody. But I want to mention a position group and a human being, the receiving group. You lead the league in drops. Let me say that again. Julio Jones, Muhammad Sanu, Taylor Gabriel, Justin Hardy, Austin Hooper, all these guys lead the league in drops.
Mm-hmm.
It's on you, bros. If they catch the rock, we're beating Carolina. Okay, if we don't get another stupid tip ball interception, we're going to beat Carolina, in my opinion. So the receiver group, most pressure is on them and Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
Because this is, dude, if you have some play calling snafus and we lose and we don't make the playoffs, you now are on a very hot seat. I think Dan Quinn will look at the history and what has happened and say, year two with Sarkisian is going to be improved like year two with Shanahan. So, no, I don't think a move would be made. Mm. People in this town, on bar stools, in barbershops, if there are play calling snafus in a loss to Carolina, they are going to want Steve Sarkisian fired. So Steve Sarkisian and the receiving group, to me, has the most pressure in this game.
You know, some people on Twitter asked me on Sunday after the game as we were getting back from New Orleans, is Sark a one-and-done guy? Do you think Dan Quinn would get rid of Steve Sarkisian? Obviously, we're putting the cart way in front of the horse because the season's not finished. If the season, though, ends on Sunday, that might be the only scenario where I envision Steve Sarkisian being let go because of everything you just said. And knowing this organization, what have we known about them? They're almost loyal to a fault.
I would agree with that. And now, there were whackings after the Super Bowl loss. Richard Smith, whacked. Who else lost their job?
Brian Cox,
whacked. Exactly. So there were scapegoated human beings.
Yep.
So it's possible. But that's my point with Sark. If you have a bad play-calling game and we lose, you now open up the possibility to getting fired.
Yeah,
and start right back over with your life and your career and the whole thing. So there's a ton of pressure on him.
Marquand Manuel has been an upgrade, top 10
no
defense.
Doubt.
Bryant
no doubt
Young,
about it.
Falcons haven't had 40 sacks, I believe, since like 2001 or 2, somewhere in there. And they're on pace to have, they have 3 sacks this weekend, they'll have 40 sacks as a team. So there have been upgrades in what you've done. The only one that there's been a downgrade is obviously what happened on the offensive side. Keith Armstrong is much respected. Let's be honest. Kick coverage has been abysmal this year. And I think against Carolina, you better find a way. You need to tell Matt Bosher, bang it through the back, and don't let them have returns.
I will say this, and I've been waiting all week to drop this on you. There just hasn't been a window. Damir Byrd, who 2 weeks ago scored 2 touchdowns for Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who they beat that week. Last week, had a 100-plus yard.
Minnesota.
Right. He had a 100-plus yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Well, Damir Byrd is out for the year. He's on IR with some kind of leg injury or something like that. He is a lightning rod guy on that team. Cam Newton was running all the way down the sidelines with Damir Byrd as he was returning that kickoff to the house. He's just one of those energy guys that the whole team feeds off of. It is a big loss for Carolina, and you multiply that by the loss of Samuel, Curtis Samuel, the rookie out of Ohio State. That's a big deal.
It is, and I think special teams can play a huge part in this. So the question we have, 404-741-0929, which Falcon has the most pressure this week? For me, it goes to the QB. What did we talk about an hour and a half ago? Can MVP Matt show up? I'll be honest, being on the field, I didn't realize he didn't have a 3-touchdown game all year. I didn't realize he only had, what, three 300-yard games all
That's
year?
That's it.
Those were foregone conclusions a year ago. Go ahead and pencil Matt in for 300 and 2.5 touchdowns every week, and we'll be fine. I need that to show back up. And again, it's a collective effort. It's not just on number two. I stick up for number two maybe more than anybody else around this town. Something's got to change, though, and it's got to change now, or else you're going to be a team that either is on the outside looking in come next week, and Lord knows I do not want to spend 9 months going, you went from Super Bowl to out of the playoffs and then basically telling everybody you were right, there was a hangover. You need to get into the dance, and then let's see how the chips fall from there.
One more quick take, and we'll head to the street. Sean, Chris, Chuck, we see you. Matt Ryan has a, in the passing game, has a better matchup this week than Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Mm-hmm. You have to go against Luke Kuechly, who is better sideline to sideline and in coverage than Luke Kuechly at that position.
Nobody.
That'd be nobody. So, and I'm not saying our guys can't be effective and move the chains and all that kind of stuff, but Matt, and it's not also, John, Carolina's pass defense, got to give them credit. They're vastly improved over where they have been the last couple of years. But still, that is the softer part of their defense. So Ryan has a better matchup than the backs. He's got to step up.
Let's jump through some calls real quick. 404-741-0929. Sean's in Douglasville. Sean, who has the most pressure for the Falcons this week to step up?
One word, Julio. That's it, man. Julio does. Really, I got a couple of thoughts with that, too. Julio's been doing a lot of dropping. He's supposed to be our number one receiver. I see Bryant out there in Pittsburgh. I see Hopkins out there in Houston. You know, I need my number one receiver to show up. One question for you before I go.
Mm-hmm.
1 year too early. I know it is. Not right now, but a year too early. Julio Jones, get the King's ransom for Julio. Do you get the King's ransom for Julio?
And trade him away?
Absolutely.
Nah, I can't trade Julio.
Not me. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
There's certain guys that are just difference makers. There's certain guys that are just difference makers. I can't go away from Julio. Not yet.
If he has another year with 10 drops, we can have a different conversation.
I'm not
ready for it right now.
When his down year is 1,300 or 1,400 yards, no, I'm good. I'm keeping Julio Jones.
All right, let's keep the phone calls rolling, John. Let's go to Chris in Decatur. Chris, who has the most pressure in terms of our Falcons against Carolina this week?
I think the pressure is going to be on Matt Ryan, and I kind of got a question for you guys. You said something about the Falcons being loyal to a fault. Do you think we were too loyal to Matt Ryan when we gave him that money? Because we gave it to him right after Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan hasn't really proved anything. And I look at the elite quarterbacks, the Super Bowl quarterbacks, the Drew Brees, Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers. They have did a lot more with a lot less in the receiving corps. Matt Ryan has had a Pro Bowl at top positions, receiver, tight end, and running back. So I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Loyal to Matt Ryan, no. That's absolutely what you had to do. You're coming off, remember, when they do the contract, they're coming off 2012 where you go to the NFC Championship game, you extend him out, and you pay him the going rate for quarterback. Since that time, Rick, he's thrown for 4,500, 4,694, 4,591, 4,944. He's thrown 26 touchdowns when Julio and Roddy were hurt, 28, 21, and 38, 19 this year. Matt Ryan's done exactly what he's supposed to do as a quarterback. You absolutely had to sign Matt Ryan.
I got no problem with the Matt Ryan contract at all.
And here's what I'll tell the
caller.
It's
the going rate for QBs in the NFL.
He's going to get a contract extension at the end of this year. That's my guess.
And it's going to be mega.
And it is.
And there's going to be people. Well, hopefully he wins the Super Bowl and everybody's like, yeah, pay him his money, man. All right. Let's go to Chuck
in Union City here, man.
Whoa.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today, man?
Hi, Chuck. What's up? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Hey, listen, man. Sarkisian will be there next year. I think they think the same thing's going to happen with Shanahan. Next year he'll come back in and do well. I think he's actually done a pretty good job this year to be a first-year OC in the NFL, period. Forget just being with the Falcons. Now, the person with the most pressure on them this week, I got to say Dan Quinn. You can look at a number of decisions and calls and no calls that he didn't make getting in Shanahan's ear, telling him you better run the ball, don't throw it again. He's got to start making big boy coaching decisions. Stop getting out coached on the field. Learn how to manage the clock. Learn what plays to call on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, or at the goal line that actually work. I think he's on DQ.
Yeah, Dan is obviously a guy that's going to have a lot of pressure, and you're absolutely right, Chuck, and we appreciate the call here.
Let me present a scenario to you, John.
All right.
I'm having a real problem with Dan Quinn's clock management at the end of first halves. It's been brutal. Remember, we talked about the bad clock management at the end of the first matchup, Falcons-Saints. Mm-hmm. Well, let me take you back to Sunday. Sorry, John, for the memory recall here. So it's late first half, right about the two-minute warning. Ingram fumbles and recovers. Okay, remember, that was right at the play out of the two-minute warning. DQ lets the clock run from 2 minutes to 120.
Yeah.
Okay, and he had two timeouts. So I ask you, would you rather have one timeout and a $1.55 on the clock, or two timeouts, and it ended up being 1:14 on the clock?
Yeah, I'm probably going to want one timeout and more time on the clock. Yes.
So come on, DQ, let's go. If I'm sitting on my couch and I'm a little bit lathered up, TITOS, mm-hmm. and I know it, come on, bro.
I thought you were going to spell something else.
Come on, bro.
T. Brian and Mark had already reached for the dunk.
I was like, where is he going? Where is he going with this?
Because I know you like
I like big. Those too, John.
You do. That is well chronicled that you like those. But, yeah, I'm always the guy to punch the timeout early.
Thank you.
Because your offense knows how to go up, spike a ball, run a ball to the sideline.
But you're not even going to have to do that with a $1.55 in one timeout. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't even have to get into spike mode. It just frees up so much with your playbook. You can go over the middle of the field. You don't have to just work the sideline. Lines. Come on, be better.
Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I think Mark's ready to
I'm gassed. Do
it.
I'm out.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I got.
You're hot takey? Oh, we do. No, you can still got things
to
do.
Did I get hot takey enough for you?
You did, but don't forget you could join 92.9 The Game on New Year's Day at Arena Tavern in Duluth for a special college football playoff live broadcast party. Pre-game with Rick and I from 10 to 2 and Dukes and Bell from 2 to 7 with a chance to win autographed Georgia gear like a signed and framed Herschel Walker jersey, signed helmets, and more. We even have a few Oklahoma items, which we'll probably use to wipe our hands with, but don't let anybody get left out. So it's Arena Tavern in Duluth starting at 10. Are you just going to stick around and watch the game there? Dukes and Bell being there, or are you going home?
I'm going home.
Yeah, me too. I live too close.
I'm going home. I'm actually going to try to take a nap ski before the game skis.
Oh, there's no nap skis.
You know, I should be home at about 2:30, take a little hour and a half nap, get up, start pregaming. That's probably how I'm going to roll. I'm going to be dog butt tired after that.
Yeah,
after our show.
I figure it's a 3-day hangover for me, so we're just going to keep the party going at Arena Tavern.
Why not ring in 2019?
It's 2018. It's 2017 now to be 2018.
Don't you fast forward my life.
Yeah.
Coming up next in Read Between the Lines, we actually hear from Jake Fromm, and he talks about if this stage is too big as a freshman quarterback. Plus, another reason why we love Mike Leach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.